Dear Lord Baby Jesus, or as our brothers to the south call you, Jesus, we thank you so much for this bountiful harvest of Domino's, KFC, and the always delicious Taco Bell. When you say grace, you can say it to grown-up Jesus, or teenage Jesus, or bearded Jesus, or whoever you want.
We all have experiences that shake our faith. There are times where we have questions for God's plan relative to us. But that's precisely when we should remember Christ's own doubts and eventually his own triumph. Jesus told us as much in the book of John when he said, "In this world you will have trouble."
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I come in the name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit, and when the little Lord sounds a sound and shows the sign, ain't gonna be no time to ponder the message in your feeble little mind, cause it's just gonna be going on like Donkey Kong. 144,000 strong, faithful and true king singing a brand new song. You don't know my words, your best bet is to learn. Know who the f*** you supposed to be. Don't act like you don't know me, fool. What? You don't? Ain't no shame on me, mother f***. Shame on you. Oh, cause you think you believe God don't mind. Because if he did, God would do. Believe it or not, house f***s is all on you. But God knows you don't mind stinking ass Congress politicians sticking up your non-believing ass all the time. I am the light, and you, mother f***, you just blind. If you had stayed in my words, I would have referred to you as being divinely inclined. And to a goddamn devil-worshipping Ku Klux Klan member, how f*** can I be kind? Can I respect the Antichrist non-believer in exercising his right to call God Almighty a lie? Well, you've got to be out of your goddamn mind. Got to be. And doomed to die. If you don't mind, God don't mind slaying your wicked ass at the end of time. Motherfucker, if you only knew in your heart and in your mind who it is you're referring to. Feel a strong urge to crucify me? Then you know I got to be. And no motherfucker does it better in any weather. I'm the top seller. Like my mystical say, gonna be that way long after release Mandela. Because you nincompoops poops don't know Jesus from glory holler stupid. I will stick my sword in that ass so fast you will swear my name is Cupid. Truly God's salvation is near them that fear him. You don't fear God really though, huh? You fear him when you die, huh? Then eat a bowl of hearts and a big plate of man, cause the surely about to hit the fan. Being tossed by the hand by the man with the plan in his hand. The blueprint even, and you Ku Klux Klan members, goddamn house can surely start grieving. I couldn't give a mad ass what you believe in. Because what you think you believe in, the first man Adam fucked up, God Almighty through Jesus made even. And we give glory to God Almighty by the name of the sinless man called Jesus. To the Most High this is pleasing, and the children of the Most High don't give a fuck if it's morning, noon, or evening, what time it is, or the goddamn season. Anyone opposed will have to be leaving, got to be. Hop the first hell bop, getting somewhere over the rainbow that dead asses will be fleeing, for mercy and truth are met together, righteousness and peace have kissed each other. And you need not be looking for another motherfucker. If the first sacrifice of God wasn't enough, maybe you would prefer to pay God with your funky ass blood. God will squash your ass like a bug in the rug. You and the goddamn doctrine you rolled in on. This is the one man show. And although I am ruler over many, I ain't talking about we. And fuck another motherfucker contrary to me. You're just a Ku Klux Klan member wannabe, house f***. Dying to swing from a tree. I'm God, and mother f***, you're not. So now will I cry like a woman in travail, and growl like a bear. If it's hell you trust in, mother f***, get there. Hop the first hell, bop. For God gives that which is good. My word, the truth is that which is good. Apart from my words, there ain't no good. And my truth shall yield my increases to me like a flood, with or without the shedding of blood. And after this great war, the master will tally up the score, then turn these fake-ass Congress politicians into handmaids for a quarter. Then Ku Klux Klan members in goddamn house will become allergic to law and order. Then will the children pray the Almighty Lord and glorify the name Jesus. God has established this forevermore. Forever, forever, you go to sleep and you wake up tomorrow, it'll still be Jesus forever. Don't fake on me now, mother you in schooler. I'm ordained to be ruler, and I'm coming like the true savior. Can I crystal blue persuade you? The voo is not deja. I'm the true player. You still waiting for tomorrow someday, huh? Behold, motherfucker, Jamaica, goddamn Jesus hater. So therefore, I'm gonna stump your ass till your ass turns blue. There's only one thing I hate worse than the devil, and that's a goddamn devil worshiping Ku Klux Klan member wanna be like you.
This is the conspiratorial view of history, as opposed to the accidental view. And it is the conspiratorial view that we shall present in this program.
So we saw this headline in London's Daily Mail. Putin targets foes with zombie gun, which attacks victims' central nervous system. So according to the piece, Russia is developing a gun that uses radiation
to boil internal organs,
control their behavior, and drive victims to suicide. So it's got a mind control aspect to it. The Russian military plans to use the gun against its enemies and, according to the report, against Russian dissidents. Now, there is even a quote from Vladimir Putin comparing the effect of the gun to a nuclear weapon, but, quote, it's more acceptable in terms of political and military ideology. All right, this is messed up. The media picked up the story as one more example of Vladimir Putin's relentless quest for power. We were suspicious of a story, though, about a zombie ray gun published just a few hours before April Fool's Day, so we tracked down the writer behind the original story. He was home with the flu, but he answered the question of whether this was true. He says it is. According to Christopher Leak, the Russians are developing this weapon, and even though it's still years away, it's a good indication of where Putin's head is. Because if the Russians do have zombie technology, it confirms a lot of things we've heard about Putin. Some of them funny. And some of them not.
No! Stop it already!
But it's also a reminder, right, of how civilized America is. But there's a problem. We already have a gun like that, our own radiation ray gun. It's called the Active Denial System, or Pain Ray.
It's a directed energy weapon
developed by the American military for security and crowd control. It has the ability to penetrate under the skin, hitting you like a needle, and then raising your body temperature like opening a microwave oven. Unlike the Russian gun, it can't actually control your mind. So basically, the Russians are trying to make a better zombie ray than the one the United States has. The Cold War is over, but the one-upsmanship of toys continues. The only problem is, if you actually ever imagine these things being used, as opposed to kind of thinking about it like some kind of comic strip, it makes you really sick to your stomach.
Become your own savior and don't let the sun Last summer, the Indiana Supreme Court ruled Hoosier homeowners cannot refuse entry to their homes by police, even if the officers arrive without a warrant. It came 4 years after a southern Indiana man sued police after being arrested following a domestic disturbance. The court's ruling caused an uproar. Critics saw it as an affront to a person's right against unwarranted search and seizure. After much debate, Hoosier lawmakers passed Senate-enrolled Act 1 on the last day of the session earlier this month. Daniel signed the bill into law Wednesday. He says it narrows the conditions under which someone could use force against police. Critics worry the law could give people justification for attacking police officers.
And yet if you find yourself in the dark, because you're gonna find sometimes you might be alone, but don't feel lonely, because you're gonna find so don't let the sun go down on your grievance.
Enforcement officials are painting a picture for us tonight. They say, consider this. A woman dials 911. She's crying, and all of a sudden, the dispatcher is hung up on. When police arrive at the home, a man is standing at the door and says everything's okay. It's a tough situation that they say just got more unsafe.
Law enforcement officials and domestic violence prevention advocates are seeing eye to eye.
The thing that we're the most concerned about is domestic abusers misinterpreting the intent of the law and using that as a power play over victims of domestic violence.
They're concerned over a new law that gives Hoosiers the right to resist police who they believe are acting illegally. That has Indiana police scared.
A certain element, especially if they're drinking or if they're on drugs, are going to say this is their chance to keep us out, to keep us from coming in.
He's worried about public perception, and he doesn't agree with the governor who claimed the law would do more to protect officers by narrowing the situations in which someone would be justified in using force against them.
Don't let the sun go down on your grievance. Everybody, respect love of the heart over lust of the flesh. Woo! Sing it! Do yourself a favor, become your own savior, and don't let the sun go down on your grievance.
Policy, a change of clothes. The Marion County Sheriff has put his deputies back in brown uniforms. The switch from plain clothes to uniforms comes after passage of Senate Bill 1, the so-called right to resist law that gives homeowners the right to use deadly force if necessary to repel perceived unlawful entries into the residence.
It puts everybody in jeopardy if they're not seen. If they see us in uniform, they know that we're the police. It's just a safety factor.
Police departments across the state have taken a second look at their uniform policies. The Indiana Fraternal Order of Police has issued a bulletin underscoring the importance of reporting every altercation arising out of passage of the new law. It urges officers to take extreme caution in the performance of their duties.
Attacks on our officers, as we've been talking about for several weeks now, attacks on our officers are significantly up.
Marion County Sheriff's deputies serve upwards of 50,000 civil and criminal warrants a year, half of them for people wanted for violent crimes of all descriptions. It's a dangerous job, and a law that gives homeowners greater protection puts every police officer at greater risk, both in and out of uniform.
We don't want people to mistake us for vigilantes, that we want them to know what we're doing is lawful, but our concern is protecting our officers' safety.
Police departments all across the country have an eye on the so-called right to resist law and how it plays out in Indiana. And police across the state want to make a record of every threat, altercation, and injury in an effort to get the law repealed.
Guess what, idiots? Joke's on you. You're all going to be looking at Class 1 misdemeanors.
I'm sorry, what?
If you live in the state of Arizona.
Oh, thank God. Okay.
That's right. In 1984-esque news of the day, Arizona's proposed telecommunications harassment bill, a.k.a. Arizona House Bill 2549, is sitting on the governor's desk right now awaiting for approval. And for all intents and purposes, it basically outlaws any kind of internet trolling.
The statute states, "It is unlawful for any person with intent to terrify, intimidate, threaten, harass, annoy, or offend to use any electronic or digital device and use any obscene, lewd, or profane language or suggest any lewd or lascivious act or threaten to inflict physical harm to the person or property of any person." So basically anyone that uses a naughty or profane word, i.e. anyone that actually uses the internet, will be slapped with a Class 1 misdemeanor.
In the state of Arizona.
And this is punishable by a $250,000 fine and up to 6 months in jail.
And if the Orwellian overlords deem that your internet activities cross into the realm of stalking, like when Lee posts daily sexual, aggressive, and borderline threatening comments on Rob Lowe's personal Facebook,
define threatening.
Marry me or I will kidnap your parents.
That's a fact, okay? Facts are different from threats. You should know that, Joe.
Anyways, if you get caught doing that, you'll face a Class 3 felony charge that carries a minimum sentence of 2.5 years in jail with the possibility of a maximum sentence of 25 years in jail.
Gargoyles! Psychics! Everything's ungodly! Dark Savage!
I'm glad you're home.
This is the scene of devastation after a U.S. Navy F-18 fighter jet crashed into an apartment block in Virginia Beach on Good Friday. Incredibly, no one was seriously injured in the disaster, despite several buildings being completely demolished. U.S. Navy Admiral John Harvey summed up the feelings of many of those present.
To be very honest with you, when I first talked with the mayor yesterday, very shortly after the crash, I had seen the location here. I was familiar with this area. I knew it was well populated. I knew that the aircraft had just taken off to start a mission, so it had a full capacity for fuel. It was loaded up heavily with fuel. So I felt the worst was yet to come on this. I don't speak for anybody's religious beliefs, but the mayor and I both agreed that if you want to define a miracle, what happened here yesterday meets that definition for me.
Not of God. It's not Christians. Did you not ask if she believed in God? She's not a Christian.
She could be a Jew and believe in God.
It doesn't matter. She's tampering in dark sided stuff. Yes, yes, she did. The entire house is dark sided.
She said her whole house is.
She is dark sided too.
Why are you mad at us?
This is my house. I want no money. I want nothing. I want my God and I want my family. This is tainted. I don't want it. Whatever it is, it's tainted. Whatever it is you've given me, I give it up to God. I'm a God warrior. And I don't want someone with tainted anything in beliefs doing anything with my family. Get out. Get out. I want these crew members leaving. Get these ear sets off of me. I've had enough. Gargoyles, psychics, everything's ungodly. Dark sided.
I'm glad you're home.
Get the hell out of my house. In Jesus' name, I pray. I've had enough.
Oh, I just sit. Mom, come sit with
us. Did you talk about astrology?
No.
Did you get hypnotized by her? I have taken a stand. I have taken a stand. I am not a fence rider. I was over there praying for all these people, but I needed prayer. I needed you to be
praying for you.
I need you. You get me.
I was praying for you every night. I was praying for you every night.
But I needed your prayers. There was nothing of God. Every day it was nothing of God. I had to change the whole plans and make everybody go to a Catholic church because I was leaving. Took the ear sets off, said, I ain't leaving. Fly me home.
Mama, just talk
to us. We had a party, a solstice party.
Well, she said that was about the moon. It was the longest.
Yeah, it's about the moon because they only believe in the moon and the gods and the this and the that.
Janie was not like that.
Her name is Jade. I went to her station. Her kids don't go to church or believe in God.
She said,
I've been with her kids.
Well, she did.
Ashley, astrology.
Mom, I believe you.
Tarot card readings.
She didn't bring it up with us.
And if everybody would look back at everything I've been saying and preaching and praying and saying, I've been saying I am a spiritual warrior because I feel like I'm a spiritual warrior. Like I've had to put armor on just to walk out that house. I want none of this. I want out of this. Because you know what? I won't take some ungodly person telling me what to do with my money or that money for us. I don't want it in my house. Tarot cards and astrology and witch books and
we had none of that here.
Because you know why? Because I'm the warrior. I asked all the questions. Take the money, take whatever you got, and get out of my house. In Jesus' name, I pray. They will be on my prayer list for the day I die. Every one of them.
You spoke to her?
I speak that into existence, every one of them. I planted that seed and I will see the harvest. Get out of my house! Every dark-sided person, get out of my house. If you believe in Jesus, you can stay here. Don't stay in my house if you're dark-sided.
There was a priest giving a speech in front of 26 parents and an 8-year-old kid. This is Father Martin McVeigh. And, you know, during this presentation, he put his USB drive into the PC and he started his PowerPoint presentation, except he didn't realize that it had gay porn on it.
Oh.
So he ended up showing gay porn. His reaction was hilarious because instead of trying to explain himself, he literally just like took the drive and walked out. Didn't say a single word to anyone.
He was like, you know what? Yeah. Like O'Reilly says, end of this. Okay, I'm pretty much done here. My work is done.
Yeah, right.
I'll see you all later. He pulls a Costanza.
That's right, yeah.
Except he's going out on a low note.
Yeah,
turns out I'm gay.
Yeah.
I'll see you guys later.
But the best part.
From his collection?
Yes. So he's into gay porn, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Now, the parents were so disturbed by this that they actually called the authorities, and authorities had to investigate his porn to make sure that there was nothing illegal there, which is.
Yeah, come on. Leave the guy alone. I mean, look, unless the pictures you saw were young kids,
no,
then of
they
course,
weren't.
Obviously, you go right after the guy. He's a priest, he's around young kids. It's not even a question. But if it's just normal guys, whatever, like, the guy's suffered enough. I mean, you're going to raid his porn stash and get it out. Oh, and besides which, it's not like he tried to cover it up. He's like, I'm done here.
What was
he walked out.
Yeah, he walked out.
What was he trying to show?
I think he was going to do, like, it was a presentation about First Communion.
Preacher's son, and when his daddy would visit, he'd come along. When they gathered around and started talking, that's when Billy would take me walking. Out through the backyard we go walking. Then he'd look into my eyes. Lord knows to my surprise, the only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man. The only boy who could ever teach me was the son of a preacher man. You see what he was.
From a minister and his congregation on the steps of a church in St. Paul, Minnesota, a fight outside the St. James African Methodist Episcopal Church was part of a long simmering feud.
Bright skies couldn't chase away clouds of contention that have gripped this church nearly 2 years since the Reverend Hubert Armstrong was appointed its pastor by the church's national body.
We are complaining that we feel that he is a poor church administrator and has poor people skills.
Others say Reverend Armstrong is unaccountable with church funds and doesn't consult or inform members. Attendance has dropped.
They're leaving. There's nobody here. We're not getting any money. We're losing the church. We're so in debt, it's pathetic.
This weekend, several church trustees took matters into their own hands. While Reverend Armstrong was being reappointed at an AME conference, they changed the locks on church doors. He reacted today by dismissing two trustees. Then emotions erupted.
And you are suspended.
Well,
you're
fine.
No, you don't.
Come and tell me everything is alright. You kiss and tell me everything's alright. Can I get away again tonight? The only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man. The only boy who could ever teach me was the son of a preacher man. Yes, he was. He was. The Lord knows he was.
Yes, he was. See, Bishop Davis, when I was in the world selling drugs, there was a level of ethics in the street that the church don't have. Let me come over here right quick. See, when I was selling drugs and robbing folk in the street, the ethical thing for us as thieves were, if we didn't like you, we didn't kiss your butt, we didn't smile in your face, we didn't brown nose. We didn't go out to dinner with a person we don't like. Church is the only place where folk will smile up in your face, go to dinner with you, come to your house, and soon as they leave, they don't have nothing good to say about you. Yeah, and it don't manifest from folk in the street. No. Your greatest disappointments come from folk who sang in the choir with you tonight. Yeah. Your greatest disappointment come from other bishops that are in the ecclesiastical episcopal order. And we don't have to worry about drug dealers and prostitutes and homemongers and liars on the outside. No. It's folk that sit right up in here with us.
You know, I don't know what y'all believe, and I don't really care. But you have to admit, beliefs are odd. A lot of Christians wear crosses around their necks. You think when Jesus comes back, he ever wants to see a cross?
An atheist group purchased a giant sign outside the Lincoln Tunnel here in New York City that said belief in Jesus as God is, quote, a myth. Then just last weekend, another sign appeared, this one in Huntsville, Alabama. The message says this about religion. You know, they're all scams, picturing Christian, Jewish, and Islamic symbols on the sign. So what's going on? With us now, David Silverman, president of the American Atheist Group, which is responsible for both billboards. So why the insults?
Well, they're not insults. They're truths.
Wait. We just heard Nancy Pelosi said that it's pay-as-you-go. So let's try to get into the truth.
This isn't about pay-as-you-go. This is about telling the truth. Now, if people
if you say
we're saying what we believe.
No.
That's not us insulting.
Let's just be regular guys instead of I'm a Catholic, you're atheist. We're just regular guys now, okay? You say something's a scam.
Yep.
On a sign. And then you come in here where millions of people are watching you and say that's not an insult. What does the word scam mean to you?
Scam means it's deliberately misleading people.
And that's not an insult?
It's not an insult to the people. The people are just following.
It's not an insult to the people?
It's a statement to the people who are following the religion. And really, it's attacking the people who are in the pews.
Wait a second.
Whoa.
Now, I'm stick with the insult. Because this is certainly an insult, in my opinion. And I know I'm not the smartest guy in town. But, okay, so religion is a scam, but it's not the people's fault. They've just been lured in.
That's right.
Whose fault is it?
It's the leaders of the religion.
The leaders.
Of course.
All right.
I mean, this is not brain surgery.
The Pope.
Absolutely.
Right.
Look,
all of
this
these
is not
people.
Brain surgery, and this is not world news. Everybody knows religion is a scam. The only news here is
everybody
people,
knows. People I don't know, it. Mr.
Yes,
Silverman.
You do.
No, I don't.
You're
I got to tell you.
You
that.
Sit here and you're skeptical every day, and then you go to church and you get on your knees and you pray to an invisible man in the sky.
Invisible man in the sky.
You think that's a scam?
No, I don't.
You, look
you know,
at a statue,
and I'll tell you why.
A man that was
you know,
built by a man.
I'll tell you why it's not a scam, in my opinion.
Uh-huh.
All right? Tide goes in, tide goes out. Never a miscommunication. You can't explain that. The tide comes in and it goes out.
Peter is on the phone, joining us from New Jersey. Good evening. Welcome.
Hey, how are you doing?
Yes, you're on the air.
Yes, I'd like to make one point and then I'll get off. You're a douchebag.
People think that hypnosis is some mysterious, esoteric thing, and it's not. It's just simply a mental transaction in which a person has focused their attention, they've stopped being critical, and they're more open to suggestion. If someone is looking for people to hypnotize, they know that 85 out of 100 are going to be able to go into some level of trance.
Hypnosis is a natural way of inducing a trance-like state, and we all have the ability to enter into trance.
At many times during every day of our life, we slip into trance-like states where we become absorbed in watching the television.
The first order of business for a propagandist or an advertiser is to create the circumstances that will induce a state of mind that is favorable to the reception of their message. And that state of mind is the hypnotic state of mind, making television extremely important in this whole process of creating a unified mindset among the entire population. Have you ever bought something and then later on wondered why did you buy it? That's a common everyday illustration of being triggered to make a purchase based on a conditioned response that has been built into us to have a preference for a particular product. That is the whole point of programming, whether it be by an advertiser or a propagandist. There's really no difference between the two. One's selling products, the other is selling ideas. The whole point is to build into us a conditioned response where we will respond automatically without thinking, with a preference for a particular idea or preference for a particular product. If you think about it, whenever you hear news broadcasters speak, you realize that their speech pattern is similar to the pattern speech of a hypnotist. The news broadcaster looks directly into the camera and into the eyes of the viewer, another hypnotic technique.
Terror experts are working around the clock to head off any new attempt to attack America. And they're concerned that in the not-so-distant future, terrorists could easily blend in with the U.S. population. Bob Orr now on Al-Qaeda's latest tactics.
U.S. officials are increasingly worried that the next attack on America could be carried out by Americans trained in terror.
Report that will be released here in Washington tomorrow. It concludes that homegrown terrorism is on the rise in this country, and one of the most significant contributing factors remains the internet.
But my question for you is this, real quick, Rob. I heard that on the 17th of this month, George passed an executive order that says you can, if you protest the Iraqi war, you can have your assets.
Oh, sorry about that. Sorry to cut you off. Balloontown, Connecticut.
You ever heard that
phrase, everyone knows that, mate. Well, why does everyone know that? Well, it's because this system is controlled by what I call repeaters. They're people in the situations of power and influence who just repeat what someone else tells them. A doctor is repeating what they were told at medical school and what the drug companies tell them. You've got teachers who repeat what they learned in their exams and what they learned at teacher training college, and they repeat that to the next generation. And the great repeaters are what pass for journalists. This is that area outside Parliament where they stand there doing their pieces to camera, telling people what's going on. Here we have the crews waiting for the journalists to come across from Westminster and stand there and tell them what's happening in the world. The fact is, they don't know what's happening. They know nothing. So this is what they should be saying if they were telling the truth. Now over to Westminster for the latest news from David Icke. Thank you, you. Well, I've got to be honest, mate. I haven't got a clue what's going on. I tell you what my job is, right? I wear a dark suit, not normally, but, you know, I'm playing here. And I'm come over from there, and I tell you what they've told me is going on. And I deliver it as if I know what's going on, and it's really true. I've got a clue if it's true. But they tell me, and they wouldn't lie, would they? I mean, would Tony Blair lie about what's really happening? Would George Bush, please? I'm a journalist, trust me. And so, what we call news, you, what you get paid a lot of money for reading autocue about, is merely propaganda that they have told me and I tell you. David Icke, BBC, ITN, CNN, CBS, Sky News, Westminster.
Later on in the hour, we'll look at how Pepsi's heavy campaign contributions are making refreshment a central issue of the election. But right now, a bold move from the Romney campaign. Mitt Romney announced he will travel back in time today to kill previous versions of himself responsible for liberal-leaning policies like government bailouts and a health plan similar to Obamacare. We've got Piper Cahill with us. Piper, what do you think? Could this time machine Romney managed to build help his poll numbers?
Absolutely, Andrea. I think murdering the younger versions of himself before they can, for example, say they support same-sex marriage, definitely going to be a good move for him. Voters are going to see him as much more electable once those inconsistencies are erased from the timeline.
And we saw Romney test out the time machine technology yesterday when he went back to 1972 to the moment he posed for that embarrassing photo with wads of cash spilling out of his pockets.
Yes, that is right, Andrea, but he didn't kill that Romney. Huh. He just tackled him to the ground, as we all saw when the photo changed at 3:42 p.m. yesterday afternoon.
That's right, but during today's trip, which is set for any moment now, he plans to actually murder himself.
Yes, that's right.
Now, is he worried at all that by killing an earlier Romney, the current version of himself will cease to exist?
You know, not really. For the last few weeks, Romney's been pursued by a future Romney from 2016 who's come back to kill present-day Romney off so that he can be reelected. So this seems to be proof he doesn't eliminate himself.
Gotcha. Now, some critics are saying it's unfair for Romney to literally rewrite history this way just to get more votes in conservative states like Florida and South Carolina. How do you respond to that?
No, Andrea, voters need to know that time travel is not a shortcut. It is hard work.
Right.
Since his test run, he's been suffering from headaches, nosebleeds, brief glimpses of faceless men pursuing him.
Okay, but Piper, let's not forget that Romney has received a lot of opposition from the nation's top quantum physicists. I mean, they're saying that meddling with the space-time continuum has the potential to fundamentally alter the entire history of the United States.
Andrea, there are risks with all political strategies, but these are the sorts of risks that it takes to be elected until the end of time, like Eternal President Romney.
Well, Eternal President Romney was granted infinite wisdom by the god Massachusetts, Piper.
He is glorious.
He is. Thank you, Piper. Good mitt to you.
Oh, good mitt to you, Andrea Bennett.
And now it is time for the nation to drink its chocolate milk. Everyone, lift your glasses.
Investigators are still waiting on a search warrant to get inside that mobile home, but the bomb squad is keeping an eye on the property to make sure there are no other explosives. You can see a jungle gym in the front yard and a tent to the left of the home. Investigators say the 33-year-old woman was inside with the couple's 4-year-old daughter when a homemade cannon blew a projectile right through the mobile home, instantly killing the woman.
The boyfriend, we're not sure if they were married, ignited a
makeshift cannon, and the explosion went into the residence fragments where she was, where the lady was in, and she sustained massive injuries.
Several Border Patrol units and sheriff's deputies rushed to this rugged, remote area in the 25,000 block of Potrero Valley Road around 12:30. A man called deputies reporting that he accidentally shot his wife with a cannon. There were at least five people on the property. Two men were working near the cannon when it went off. The man who fired it was taken to the hospital with a leg injury. He's been released and is being questioned by detectives. He could face a variety of charges, including endangering his own child. It's unclear what type of cannon was on the property or what it was used for.
You can have a cannon, but what you do with it, that's a different story. There are some laws that prohibit people from using a cannon.
Investigators will not say if they've been to the home in the past. They also say it is too early to say if drugs or alcohol were involved. Investigators say they will be out here all day. At this point, they are not releasing the name of the victim or the man who fired the cannon.
He's a good doctor, I think, you know. I told him I get heartburn sometimes, so he goes and gets me a list of things that cause heartburn. I'm looking at the list, and I'm like, I already know this. I know how to get it. That's like going into the hospital with a cannonball wound, and they show you a list. Here's how you get cannonball wounds. I have a cannonball wound. It's gaping. Do you have a tube of cannonball wound ointment? Number one, do not stand directly in front of a cannon.
You the devil. You the devil. You a Satanist, huh? Then you wrote a book too then, right? You got a book with blood on it, huh? You Satan, huh? Who created your ass, Satan? Who created your ass? I come in the name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. I come in the name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. The devil is a motherfucking liar. So you know I ain't worried, biatch. Stupid. Look at that. I'm provoking that, huh? That I'm making motherfuckers hate God more. I'm provoking that, huh? You goddamn devil worshiper. You ain't got no excuse, motherfucker. You ain't coming in no. You come in the name of Satan. I guess if you like a house won't go competitive. If I say I'm God, then I guess you have to take the side of Satan, huh, motherfucker? Stupid. It's not of competition, it's of cooperation. Stupid ass house. I can't see you though. You see me? I'm all out. I make my ass very available. Tom, next caller. You don't like it? Kiss my ass, you don't like it. It's my house.
Hey, what's up, man? How
you doing? What's happening?
What's happening? Where'd you learn your
Where the book I got in my hand? You don't know him? You don't know him? You don't know? Look like the yellow pages. You're killing me. Next caller. Like I said, I come in the name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. I ain't playing with your ass. Don't call up and play with me. Next caller, me. I don't give a f- what you think. Your thoughts ain't my thoughts. I'm flowing straight from the survival scroll. Cut that off. Next caller. What's happening? What's happening? I come in the name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. Who name you coming in?
Great heavens! What kind of radio show is this?
It's like the best show ever!
The skateboarding world has a new record breaker, and he's just 12 years old. Tom Shah's become the first person to land a 1080 move on a skateboard at the enormous mega ramp in California. Many skateboarders have tried completing the three revolutions, but none had been successful until Shah pulled it off on his fifth attempt.
20 minutes ago, I landed the first ever 1080 on a skateboard, so I'm pretty stoked. Best day of my life.
And then, as if it was the easiest thing in the world, Tom, who's been boarding since he was 4, landed another one.
Walking to school can be a challenge in many parts of the world, but for 57-year-old Zhang Yunkui and her granddaughter Tan, their commute in southwest China is truly grueling. The young girl has cerebral palsy and can't walk, so every morning for the last 3 years, her grandmother has carried her the 5 kilometres to school, waited for her, and carried her home again. The pair's route takes them over tough mountain roads, and Zhang frequently falls in the winter. But she gets up and carries on. The two have never been late, even though the walk takes around 2 hours on a good day. Tragically, the school has boarding facilities, but Tan can't use them because of her disabilities. It's estimated Jiang has carried Tan, now 7, over 10,000 kilometres, and she says she'll carry on as long as she can. The pair's plight has become well known in the region, and the local party have agreed to provide Tan with surgery to try and improve her condition.
Plane. Well, it's a bit of both, actually. Meet Holland's flying car, known as a personal air and land vehicle, which allows its users to skip those irritating traffic jams or mountains, as its manufacturer explains.
If you want to fly over a mountain, you can do that and then drive at the other end and go to your destination, or fly over water or past a traffic jam, of course. All those type of things are possible now.
The car plane reaches top speeds of 110 miles an hour and can fly for up to 315 miles, depending on the onboard weight. It made its first flight in March, and providing they can find investors to take the project into production, the company hopes it will attract normal road users as well as flying enthusiasts. So, all you need is a private pilot's license, a 165-metre stretch of runway, and you need never be held up during rush hour again.
Attention to where I'm flying.
The moment 80-year-old Helen Collins performs an emergency landing of her husband's small plane in the US after he dies at the controls.
I'm looking at... Oh, I see you.
The audio recording captures the moment she attempts to land the twin-engine Cessna, radioing her low fuel levels as she descends into Sturgeon Bay, Wisconsin.
You better get me in it pretty soon. I don't know how long I want to have gas.
Yeah, we're doing good. We're
luckily, she's guided in by a local pilot and miraculously touches down on the runway with the plane intact.
Power back. Off. Off. Leave the power off. Power off. Power off. Power off. Power off. Nose up. Oh, okay, you're down.
Great job, Helen. Great job.
NBC News presents a special program of the death of Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. Here now is Jim Harriet, NBC News.
The President of the United States.
I ask every citizen to reject the blind violence that has struck Dr. King, who lived by nonviolence. I pray that his family...
Martin Luther King, 39 years old, perhaps the most distinguished Negro spokesman in the cause of nonviolent civil rights for his people, for all people, died tonight, the victim of an assassin's bullet in Memphis, Tennessee. Martin Luther King, the Georgia-born son of a preacher, was in Memphis in support of striking garbage workers. An aide to Dr. King, the Reverend Hosea Williams, was with him at the moment he was shot. NBC's Gabe Pressman talked to Williams about the shooting.
He walked out of his room on his way to dinner, and we heard a loud burst, and we looked. He was shot in the right-hand side of his face, and right-hand side of his jaw was shot out of, and he fell at this point. He's up on the second floor, coming out of room 206, 306.
I see. He fell right in the corridor outside his own room?
Fell on the porch, like on the porch. As he walked out of his room at this motel, that's where they shot him down.
Mr. Williams, I'm sorry to trouble you at a time like this. Were you talking to Dr. King just before this happened?
We had just finished a meeting talking about it, and he just talked to us eloquently about nonviolence.
What did he say? Do you remember?
Well, we had broken up the meet in the room, and he started out of the room to dinner.
Now he just
in the room, we had been talking about the power of nonviolence, and it's truly the only salvation for this nation.
For what the tragic story is on the Pleasant Street in Atlanta, Georgia, where Martin Luther King called home, here is Art Schultz of station WSB.
At the King residence now in southwest Atlanta, Mayor Ivan Allen, Jr. of Atlanta and Mrs. King just returned about 5 or 10 minutes ago from the Atlanta airport. Original plans were for Mrs. King to fly to Memphis, but for some reason, whether she could not get plane connections or what, she has returned to Atlanta. She's at her home. And with Mrs. King and Mayor Allen, or the King children, I only know one, Dexter, who is six. Some of the relatives all along the street in on Dr. King's neighborhood, which is fairly populated. People are standing on the porch. Their lights are out. It's raining quite heavily in Atlanta, but they're all just looking at the King's house, which is the only house on the street with a light. On the street, back and forth, people just sort of pass and drive on. There are some policemen out directing traffic. And this is about all that's happening at the moment at Dr. Martin Luther King's residence in southwest Atlanta. And this is Art Schultz.
Martin Luther King was born January 15, 1929. At the moment of his death tonight, he was 39 years old. His father was a Baptist minister in Atlanta. King was a product of the Atlanta public schools, and after being graduated from high school, attended Morehouse College, where he earned his bachelor's degree. Then he studied to become a minister at the Crozer Theological Seminary in Chester, Pennsylvania. In 1955, Martin Luther King began his civil rights crusade from the pulpit of the Dexter Avenue Baptist Church in Montgomery, Alabama. Twice before his death tonight, King was the target of violence. A bomb tossed at him failed to explode. In 1958, he was stabbed five times in a Harlem department store. He soon recovered. King first came to national attention when he was jailed in Alabama during civil rights upheavals, ostensibly because he had no driver's license. When the late John F. Kennedy telephoned about his case, King soon was released on bond. His activities were underway. Martin Luther King did not see force as an answer to the end of troubles. What he sought was intergroup harmony between black and white.
Let us not be misled by those who argue that segregation cannot be ended by the force of law. But acknowledging this, we must admit that the ultimate solution to the race problem lies in the willingness of men to obey the unenforceable. Court orders and federal enforcement agencies are of inestimable value in achieving desegregation. But desegregation is only a partial, though necessary, step toward the final goal which we seek to realize, genuine intergroup and interpersonal living.
Do you like being a participant in the watering can of the flowers of freedom throughout the world?
Christians have their hymns and pages.
Hymns and pages.
Hava Nagilas for the Jews.
For the Jews.
Baptists have the Rock of Ages.
Rock of Ages.
Atheists just sing the blues.
Romantics play
Clair de Lune.
Clair de Lune.
Born again, sing He is Risen. But no one ever wrote a tune for godless existentialism.
For atheists,
there's no good news.
They'll never sing
a song of faith
in their songs.
They have a rule: the He is always lowercase. The He is always lowercase.
Some folks sing
a bacchantata. Lutherans get Christmas trees. Atheist songs add up to nada. But they do
have Sundays free.
Pentecostals sing.
They sing to heaven.
Coptics had the Book of Scrolls. Numerologists count.
Count to seven.
Atheists have rock and roll.
For atheists,
there's no good news.
They'll never sing
a song of faith
in their songs.
They have a rule: the He is always lowercase. The He is always lowercase.
Christians have
their hymns and pages.
Hava
Nagilas for the Jews. Baptists have the Rock of Ages. Atheists just sing the blues.
Catholics dress up for mass
and listen to Gregorian chants.
Atheists just take a pass,
watch football in their underpants. Watch football in their underpants.
Atheists.
Atheists.
Don't have no songs.
Don't have no songs.
Now, go find the others. .com.
Yeah, man, I tell you what, that dang old internet, man, you just go on there and point and click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.